The health minister and the government still seem committed to the National Health Insurance Scheme, which Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi is very, very passionate about. I mean, goodness me, I don't begin to pretend to understand what's going on here. I just think that if you reduce the role of the private sector before you fix the public sector when it comes to health, you're going to make South Africans already much sicker than they are at the moment. And that is another very, very, very good diving catch by Quinton de Kock. And Joe Root, the captain of England, is out for a duck. Kagiso Rabada taken that wicket. So England, 92 for one, and now they are 92 for three. That is it's a brilliant diving right-handed catch, and the glove gets it, it hits the ground, and it stays. To go back to the NHI, a medical doctor sent me a report which I had missed by Econex, an economics research consultancy started by the University of Stellenbosch economics professors. And Dr. Paula Armstrong is an economist with that group. Paula, very good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and good afternoon to your listeners.
I'm probably oversimplifying the attitude of the government when it comes to the NHI policy and financing, but they seem to suggest that the way healthcare operates in South Africa at the moment punishes the poor. But you've done some number crunching and say, no, that's not quite true.
So what's important to point out at the beginning is where we are quite well aligned with government is in terms of what the distribution of healthcare benefits looks like in South Africa. And in terms of who actually utilizes and benefits from healthcare, the poor certainly receive a much smaller proportion of overall healthcare than the rich. Where we disagree with the findings of government or the government or the research that government cites is with regard to the financing of healthcare. What our research finds is that the wealthiest 40% of the population in South Africa finance roughly 86% of healthcare in the country.
Okay, I mean, how? I mean, how does it all work?
What we're talking about here is tax contributions. We're talking about medical scheme contributions, and we're looking at out of pocket payment for healthcare in South Africa. So we aggregate that across the different parts of the socioeconomic distribution, and then divide this up by those socioeconomic groups to see which groups contribute the largest portion. And we find there that the largest proportion comes from the wealthiest 20% of the population and the second wealthiest 20% of the population.
And it comes from us in our contributions to the medical aids, because I suspect I'm in that section of the population. And
so
it comes, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. That's one portion of the financing. The bulk of it comes from tax contributions. So this is perfectly in line with the principle of social solidarity, in the sense that people are taxed according to their ability to pay. But to represent health financing in this country as a system that punishes the poor is not accurate. The poor receive health care in a larger proportion than what they contribute in terms of tax revenue.
But they don't receive good health care. That is surely unarguable.
So this is the problem with healthcare in South Africa. Technically speaking, we have universal healthcare, universal access to healthcare in South Africa. Everybody can visit public sector healthcare facilities. The problem is the level of quality in those facilities is astonishingly low. And this compared to the private healthcare sector, where the majority of rich people access healthcare, the level of inequality is massive. And this is problematic.
Because I mean that I don't know enough about how things akin to national health insurance schemes in their various guises work around the world to take issue with it from a policy or ideological point of view. But it does seem to me that to move a greater burden of health care from the private sector to the public health sector in South Africa without radically improving the quality of the service in the public health sector is a perfect example of putting the cart before the horse.
So I think you're 100% right. Ideologically, the idea of universal healthcare access is 100% right and supported, I think, across the private and public sector. But to solve the problem of access to quality healthcare, to eliminate the private sector, which is a well-functioning, high-quality, self-sustaining system, in order to provide healthcare for the entire population from a very poor functioning public health system makes absolutely no sense. Rather, what could be used and is perhaps an alternative is to leverage the private sector in improving the level of quality in the public sector, to do this collaboratively and creatively, as opposed to moving everything over to the public sector, which in its current form, with its current level of demand, which will increase significantly with rolling out national health insurance, currently cannot provide a high quality level of healthcare in the country. It will be catastrophic for healthcare outcomes in South Africa.
You say collaboratively and creatively. Does the private sector want to do that? Because again, the way the private sector is often categorized by government and many people who have private medical aids, either because their company forces them to have one or because they simply don't trust the public health sector and they've got a little bit of, well, quite a lot of spare cash to be a member of a private medical aid. It's characterized often as a money-grabbing, not particularly patient-caring monolith.
Yes, sure. However, there is a will in the private sector to be involved in improving healthcare in South Africa. A good example would be in the training of doctors. So South Africa has catastrophically low numbers of doctors in the country. There are significant shortages in healthcare personnel. And one area in which the private sector can play a fundamental role is in training doctors. At the moment, this is not allowed, and the Department of Health is reluctant to engage on that issue. And there are sensitivities around this, which we must acknowledge. There is concern that there will be a perception that doctors trained in the private sector will be of a higher quality, or that the private sector will attract the best educators away from the public sector, and therefore the public sector will become a sort of second-tier training institute, training facilities for doctors. But there are ways to manage this. There are incentive systems that can be put in place to ensure that this doesn't happen. So there is certainly a will and capacity in the private sector to contribute towards fixing the supply-side constraints and enabling the public sector to provide high-quality healthcare before moving the entire population across onto that system.
Dr. Paula Armstrong, thank you very much indeed. Dr. Armstrong is an economist with Econex.